Well, today we are observing the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the first of God's holy days in His plan for the salvation of mankind. This was preceded night before last, at sunset, with the observance of Passover. We always look forward to that every year. With the washing of feet, the partaking of the symbols of the bread and the wine representing the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Then following this, He was betrayed and crucified, dying so our sins can be forgiven, and raised on the third day so that we may be raised to eternal life in His kingdom. We all look forward to that. This is a time of reflection, to look into our own personal lives, to flesh out the sins that we can so easily ensnare us on a daily basis. If confused, just look back and see how you can find or remember a day when you or I did not sin or could not sin in deed or action. I'm not saying this could not happen for a day. It's possible. But most times, sin starts in the mind. If we recognize it before it ripens, all the better. This is a constant battle. Conversion is a constant battle. When we're baptized and brought up out of the water, our sins are forgiven. But you know what? They're standing right there to grab a hold of you again, you know. It's still going to trip you up. For part of today's message, I'll be paraphrasing from our UCG booklet, God's Holy Day Plan, The Promise of Hope for All Mankind. We have spent the previous few days or weeks even removing leaven from our homes, from our cars, from our workspaces. And that's a tricky one too, because you can keep yours clean, but it's all around you. It's like sin is leaking at the door, you know. But rest assured, it is not all gone. Never is it all gone. We can look back to see how we were doing compared to this time last year or a month ago and expect to see great strides in our conversion. There is still more to do to become the mature, perfect being that God is looking for. Just as the dust and the crumbs we find under the couch cushions, in the microwave, or in the toaster. At first glance, they may not even be noticeable. So goes our sins. If not repented of, they just simply multiply and multiply to the point of consuming our whole being, just the same as a small amount of leaven will eventually permeate a lump of dough. At first glance, the dough may look like a gooey mess of flour and water, which basically it is. Yet underneath that layer of dough, the yeast, the leaven, is going through a chemical change that will cause the dough to rise. It is not something just on the outside that can be brushed off. You can take your dough and roll it in flour, and then you can lift it up and brush that flour off. But it's not something like that, because it is under the crust, basically hidden out of sight. Our sins also are more than skin deep and must be rooted out. These days of unleavened bread are all about coming out of the bondage of slavery of sin, just as the children of Israel were rescued from the slavery of the Egyptian bondage. Though their rescue was physical in nature, our rescue is from sin is spiritual. We must go through a spiritual change, just as the leaven and dough is not just skin deep and can just be brushed off. Neither is sin just skin deep. Though some sins are more obvious than others. We still must spiritually lift the cushions of our minds. and vacuum out the wrong thoughts and the actions that are so pervasive in our lives. The days of unleavened bread follow immediately on the heels of Passover for a reason. Jesus Christ died at Passover and was then raised during the days of unleavened bread as a reminder. Of what he said he would do. He would die and be buried for 3 days and three nights and be raised as a proof of the validity of his divinity. He died that our sins could be forgiven and was raised that we could also be resurrected at his return to eternal life, which he has already attained. He's gone through it all. This is proof of what he told the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 12, verses 38 to 40. Let's turn there. What was about to happen when they asked for a sign? Verse 38, then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. And he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, but no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. It doesn't end here. You know, actually, we've just begun our journey. No, it doesn't end here. When we are called by God through Jesus Christ, we are led to repentance following by being baptized, representing the being buried with Christ, bearing the old man, the old self, and being raised in newness of life as a new creation. Jesus Christ living in us. Then begins our journey of conversion with the help of God's Holy Spirit, which the next holy day of God's plan of salvation, Pentecost, represents. God has a plan that starts out small and grows until eventually the kingdom of God. Sin starts small, like the spore of leaven, through the thoughts that are transmitted to us by Satan, the prince of the power of the air. We'll see a little bit about that in a minute. To the point that if unchecked, take over a whole being through the influence of Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. And that is Revelation 12:9. The prince of the power of the air would not have made a lot of sense to people back then. Before the advent of radio, that uses frequency waves to transmit messages, come into being. Now that we are aware and sometimes too tuned in to this mode of messaging, it makes total sense. Let's go to Matthew 13. Verse 31-33. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs, and it becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Another parable he spoke to them, The kingdom of heaven is like a leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. The leaven of sin also starts out small. It can and will grow. Garbage in, garbage out. I think the last message I gave was called garbage in, garbage out. But garbage in, garbage out, so to speak. In other words, sin is in, sin out. In a play of words, we sow what we reap. But put another way, when we act upon those thoughts that have been sown in our minds by Satan, sin is produced and reaped. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is a reminder that we need to constantly be vigilant, nipping in the bud, so to speak, those pervasive thoughts before they are acted upon and become full-blown sins. Today, removing leaven from our homes and lives for 7 days reminds us that we, too, through prayer and God's help and understanding, must recognize, expel, and avoid sin. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is thus a time of personal reflection. We should meditate on our attitudes and our conduct and ask God to help us recognize and overcome our shortcomings. How do we rid ourselves of sin in our lives? First of all, we must know what sin is. It is a transgression of the law. If it were not for the law, we wouldn't know what sin is. If there was no law, we would have no sin. And we can't get away with that, that's for sure. God knows what we need. We learn by doing. We learn spiritual lessons by doing physical things, performing the task of de-leavening our homes, our cars, our offices. Vigilantly watch for the sinful thoughts and actions so we can avoid them. God knows that in spite of our good intentions, we all sin. I asked earlier, how do we get rid of sin in our lives? One point in final scripture when asking for God's help. Turn with me, please. And I do quote this a lot, but I evidently must like this scripture. Matthew 6. But seek first the kingdom of God. If we're seeking God's kingdom, we're getting away from sin. Seek his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We do this. How do we do this? One day at a time. 1 hour at a time. 1 minute at a time. Keep this comforting thought from verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Yes, there will be other sins to flesh out, but we must keep practicing until we get it right with Jesus Christ working in us. And pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Have a happy day.